everybody. Welcome to the Glow Show. No. My name's David. No?
That's not even our name of our show.
Oh, Glar Show.
The Glarnin Show.
That's interesting.
Hello.
Hi.
We are recording.
Hey, guys, we're recording.
Welcome to Glow Standard. Okay, sorry.
She loves that button.
I love all the buttons.
I'm not kidding you. I had to tell her last time we recorded, I was like, you need to lay off those buttons.
Right.
Because you're making this impossible to edit. What if I smiled like that?
Like what?
Just like showed all my teeth like a dog.
I mean, that's definitely a choice for you to do.
Okay.
How was your week?
It was good. It was busy.
You want to tell them your exciting news?
You keep bringing things up that I don't know what you mean.
You just had your last day of working at Starbucks.
Oh, I did. I just had my last day. Like, I clocked out like 2.5 hours ago. I was so excited. I kept telling customers. I'd be like, they'd pull up to the drive-thru and be like, hey, welcome to Starbucks. How are you? And they're like, oh, I'm good. How are you? And I'm like, I'm fantastic. Do you want to know why? And they're like, oh my gosh, why? I'm like, because I quit. One car, literally, they were like, wow. And I was like, yeah.
Woo. Also, he said watch our podcast to everyone so that way he could quit, obviously.
I literally one person. I said it to one person.
Watch my podcast.
I don't know. I think we're cute. Do you guys like the purple edition?
David is obsessed with us matching colors while we film. And today he came in and said, oh my God, we're running out of colors. And I was like, yeah, we're going to run out of colors at some point. We're going to have to repeat them. And he was like, no.
We're
going to
have to start wearing stripes and polka dots. And like, I don't know.
You don't have enough clothes to sustain this idea that you have of us matching every episode.
Hannah, I have so many clothes. You just think they're all ugly.
I don't think they're all ugly.
That was a load at all.
I don't think they're all ugly.
Hannah, why are we even here today?
Well, wait, David. I don't feel like the people get to know you because you rush right into our topic. So maybe
should we do a fun fact? A fun fact per ep.
Don't say ep. I don't know why I hated that, but I did. Yeah, we could do a fun fact. What's your fun fact today?
My fun fact.
This is like college orientation all over again. All right. I'm getting flashbacks.
I don't have a fun fact. I'm not very fun.
You're literally one of the most fun people I know. Except right now, because you're on keto. And it's so annoying.
Don't tell them. Oh, my fun fact is I'm on keto right now.
I literally hate it.
Ate my fucking Parmesan crisps.
He's miserable all the time. He's tired. He's hungry. He doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to be fun. He doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to be on keto. For what? You weigh 10 pounds. Why? Why are you doing this to yourself?
I literally have seen
him. He won't drink coffee. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like the fun kind. Like our Starbucks runs are so boring now. You won't hang out with me.
I never got sugar in my drinks before.
Last night you were like, I can't hang out with you. I'm too tired because I haven't eaten because I'm in keto.
Because I forgot to pack a lunch at my real job that I went to for 8 hours.
Keto.
And then I came to your house and cleaned for 4 hours.
David, do you want to get Chipotle? No, I'm in keto. No fun. Zero fun. No, I really need you to stop it.
I could not possibly roll my eyes hard enough.
I need you to stop it immediately. He's going to do it for a month.
Or more.
No, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much. You're not fun when you're on keto. If you were still normal David on keto, I wouldn't care. I would be like, fine, whatever. You do you.
What
you're
is different?
Not fun. You're tired all the time. Hangry all the time. I saw you have a meltdown over hanging up some floating shelves because you were so hangry that you couldn't handle it.
I didn't even have a meltdown. I just didn't want to do it.
You were banging on the shelves.
To put it on the wall.
Am I Tana Mojo? You don't understand that reference.
No, I don't even know what
it's
you said.
It's this girl that's like really like exaggerates her story time videos. Like she'll be like in an Uber and the guy will take a wrong turn and she's like, I got kidnapped in an Uber. And that's me right now.
Literally what she's doing.
I'm like, David.
I've seen her 2 times, including right now, since
sad.
I started keto. We did nothing different.
Yesterday,
I got here.
You wouldn't hang
I
out
brought
with
you
me.
Coffee. I was here for like 5 hours.
But you wouldn't hang out with me. You were working. I wanted to hang out. Right now, David and I are struggling with our dynamic of friendship and working together, because he comes over to work and then he's like, okay, bye, gonna go hang out with my friends. And I'm like, oh, great. Not
me. You know what I said yesterday? I said, Hannah, I have to go. I'm gonna go home and clean my own apartment and then go to bed. And she just twisted that to hanging out with my own friends. Who? The Overwatch characters? What the fuck are you talking about?
I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel a little left out. I just love hanging out with you, and we don't get to hang out anymore because you're doing keto and you're just so busy, and I just want to hang out as friends, you know? My fun fact is that I'm really needy.
I literally hate her. I hate her. I hate her.
Listen, I don't have a lot of friends, okay? Except for the internet.
Hannah, what are we doing today?
Wait, I didn't give my fun fact.
You just did. You're needy.
Yeah, but that's not a fun fact. My fun fact. Oh my God. Okay.
The sheer excitement. No. This is going to be fun.
So Charles and I posted our podcast yesterday that was talking about like just a bunch of different stuff. You can go check it out. Shout out Glow Show. But we talked in that episode about the closet endeavor. And David was there for a lot of the closet endeavor. But my fun fact is that I did indeed fix the closet. Everyone said it was impossible. Everyone said I couldn't do it. Everyone said it was a lost cause. However, does it not look fucking dope right now?
It looks good right now. But let me tell you, when she didn't sand the drawers she was painting.
I know.
Nor did she prime them. So I come in and it's just like streaky pink paint that you can, she's like, this is the fifth coat. And you can like see the wood underneath. And then Susanna was here and like painted like a mural on it and like love Susanna to death. Not an artist. It was terrible. It was so, and I was like, wow, really, really good, Hannah. This looks great. Yeah, this looks really, really good for sure. And then I came back yesterday and she put contact paper over everything that she painted. So now it looks good.
It does
look good.
It does. I'll give you a picture to put in right here of the finished product. It actually turned out really good.
It did turn out good.
However, there was a moment where everybody said to me, also putting up that contact paper, let me tell you, it took literally 9 hours to do everything that I needed to do. And I did it all in one. I worked in that closet from like 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. Just working away.
And then I come here at noon and wake her up. And she's like, just 10 more minutes.
I get really tired.
And then I said, no. And then she goes, 10 more minutes. And I said, I will dump your coffee out that I got for you. And she goes, no, you won't. And I said, it was free.
Then I got up.
So yes, I will.
Then I knew. That was so fucked.
Yes, I will.
Like 15 though, so.
Right.
I had a lot more confidence then, I think.
Yeah.
I would never do that now.
I'm my most confident self in this moment.
You should be. That shirt's really cute.
Thank you.
I like it. Also, one more thing before we start. Somebody said in the comments of the last podcast that I should be giving it back to you more. Like, they were like, I love how sassy David is, but I wish Hannah would give it back to him. And I just want to let everyone know that I physically can't. I have no giving it back in my body. There's no clap back in my body. Like, I'm not that person. Never have been. Never will be. So I apologize.
That's why we work so well together.
That is why I don't clap back at any, not even just David, at anyone. I'm not a clap backer. Like, I can't do it. It takes me a while to formulate what I want to say. That's why I like doing edited videos where I can script them, because I have enough time to formulate exactly what I want to say. I'm not right.
She's in the shower and she's like, damn, I should have said that.
I literally do that. Wait, can you do that impression of me?
No.
Damn it. I should have said that.
Damn.
Okay, we're going to jump into our main topic. Our main topic today is actually one I'm really excited about.
We're really excited to film this. And I think you guys are really excited for us to film this too, because the emails have been rolling in. So many emails.
We have gotten a ton of emails. Like, I think we've gotten like 100.
We have 100 more after the ones that I pulled aside to do today.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. We did not anticipate so many emails.
I was thinking we were going to get like five.
Five.
Between eight. Five and seven.
Yeah, I was not anticipating the amount of emails we got.
No, apparently you guys like what we have to say, which is kooky, because I don't even like what I have to say.
But yeah, just email us if you want to be featured. We might do even a bonus episode after this one, reading more emails. Like, every third week of the month, we'll do two episodes just reading emails, because we want to cover as many as we can, so.
Yeah, and just because we don't feature you this time, I, like, delete them as I choose them to read on air. On air? What are we?
I don't know
radio
why we're
hosts?
Doing this.
We're radio on hosts air. Now.
Live and in person. It's Saturday night.
But, like, I didn't, like, archive any other emails, so they're still there. Just because we don't get to you this time doesn't mean we're not going to get to you next time. This first one is just funny. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It just says, Hannah, what are some pretty gross and weird habits you have?
Is that actually the email?
Yeah.
Gross and weird habits I have?
Yeah, what's your worst habit? She said she has some gross and embarrassing habits. What's your worst habit?
My worst habit.
I can think of two.
What are they?
No, you go first. No. No, I insist.
What are my worst habits? Is one of them the pasta water thing?
One of them's the pasta water.
You can't bring that up again. We bring it up every episode.
It's so embarrassing for you.
I would say my worst habits. Oh, probably my procrastinating. I would say that's a really bad habit of mine. What?
Her worst habit?
Oh, no.
Is that she? You guys aren't going to believe me.
What is it?
She peels.
No.
She
no,
peels
no,
her hot
no,
dogs.
No.
She
no,
refuses
no,
to eat the
no,
skin on the
no,
hot dogs. And she,
no.
She'll sit there and she'll.
No.
That's it.
I do peel my hot dogs. I stand by that one, though. It tastes better. Here's my thing. I love hot dogs. They're so yummy. I don't like the burnt and crispy parts. I think it's fucking gross.
She doesn't only peel burnt crispy ones. She'll peel any hot dog, no matter its level of
cooked. I don't like the skin. I just don't like... Everybody's like, the skin's the best part. I disagree. I'm sorry. I don't like the skin. Everybody always thinks it's so fucking weird. They think it's so bizarre. They've never seen it before, but I would guarantee that there's others of you out there. Who also, and you're not alone.
Write to us if you peel your hot dogs.
I am a voice for those who feel silenced in this moment.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I do peel my hot dogs. Is there any others? I feel like I don't really do a lot of gross stuff.
No.
I'm just messy. Like, I'm just like,
oh,
I think keeping snacks by my bed is probably one of my weirder habits.
One time,
I was so mad.
I moved the tortilla chips from next to her fucking bed. And then I come back the next day and she's like, why did you move my bed snacks?
I was so mad.
I put them the fuck away. What do you mean
I
move your
I
bed
have like
snack?
A mini...
If you wanted your house poorly cleaned, you should have hired somebody else.
I have a literal like mini pantry next to my bed, but it's because I'm a night owl and I get really hungry at like 4 a.m. So I just need some like just a couple chips or just a couple something. So I keep snacks next to my
bed.
It's
always tortilla chips.
It always is.
And Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its have been of the moment, but usually it's also fruit snacks. I love fruit snacks. Okay. Thank you for your question. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you, mean.
Me. That's how we should end everyone.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Thank you. Love you. Bye. Okay. So this one is from Penelope, and it says, so David mentioned.
Just in case you missed, we didn't explain. Oh, maybe we did. Everyone is Penelope to us. Everyone.
Your cat? You don't know its name? Penelope.
Penelope.
You? Penelope.
Penelope.
Your customer?
Penelope. So Penelope is what we are using across the board, but luckily a lot of people included their pronouns, so we will use proper pronouns if people put it in. But yeah, everyone's Penelope, and that's that on that.
Okay, so this Penelope said, David mentioned working out. That's me. I'm David. Hi. What do I usually do at the gym? Well, clearly I lift all the weights. I'm so strong. Just kidding. I never lift weights. I like tried to get into it, but like, I just like can't do it.
No, you have to lift weights. You have to. I bought you a weight machine.
Right. So Hannah did buy a squat rack.
What do you mean you don't lift weights any? I literally bought you a weight machine.
Right. And when was the last time I worked out here?
David, you've got to be kidding.
Anyways.
I thought you were just going through a phase. You're done working. You're done lifting weights?
No. No, I'll lift more later.
That was literally a very expensive piece of equipment that took you 3 days to put together.
It took me so long.
And you're not going to lift anymore?
No, I didn't say I wasn't going to lift anymore. Stop putting words in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be known I tried to help.
God!
Okay. Wait, so what do you do at the gym?
I usually just do, like, cardio. And then, like, body weight workout stuff. I don't normally lift weights, but it's mostly because I'm afraid of the men at the gym.
You also do yoga.
I do yoga a lot. That's true. I do Pilates. Mm-hmm. But those are just, like, body weight exercises. I like to run, but I, like, always hurt my leg. So my leg hurts in this moment. I twisted it yesterday on the ice.
Do you want to know what I do at the gym?
Eat Kit Kats.
That was bitchy.
No,
You're going to want to cut that.
No, it's funny. So, you know...
Yeah.
So when she one time, we went to the gym together, and she, it wasn't Kit Kat, it was a Tootsie Roll. And she literally, I was like leaving the gym, and she was going into the gym, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go get Core Life. She was like, I want Core Life. And then she took a Tootsie Roll off of the counter and left the gym. So she literally went to the gym, got a Tootsie Roll, and then left with me to go get lunch.
She's iconic.
Love her.
At the gym, i.e. my basement, I do 30 minutes on the treadmill. I do 12-3-30, but it's actually 6-3-30 because 12 is too hard for me right now. So I just do a 6 incline.
Also scary.
It's a lot. I do 6 incline. I'm going to work my way up to 12. I think I'm close to getting to 7, but I do 6 incline, 3 like miles per hour walk speed, and then 30 minutes of that. And that's really good. And then I also do like 20 minute rides in my Peloton usually. I don't really do the 30-minute ones.
I thought you were going to say in my car.
No.
I literally was like, what?
No, I do like 20-minute rides on my Peloton usually is what I do. And then that's it. I don't do weightlifting. It scares me.
Right. I just don't like to do it in the gym because I'm literally afraid of gym bros. Do I focus on aesthetics or overall health? Kind of both. My Apple Watch like tells me if I'm like getting more fit or less fit. So that tells me like my overall health. But I definitely work out for aesthetic reasons, I feel.
I bought an Apple Watch for that reason.
And then, David, do you like fit men or dad bod types? Both.
Wait, like in men?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen you be with both.
Yeah.
It's a good email.
Thanks for your email. Thanks for love you. Questions. Bye. Okay, this one says, so I am 23, a month away from 24, and one of the biggest things I struggle with is feeling behind in life, like very behind. I'm 23, but I don't party. I go to bed early, and I find being out and about quite exhausting. Me too. Go off. Literally me too.
It literally is.
And I just don't feel like I'm enjoying my 20s so far. Most of all, I'm 23, and not only have I never had a boyfriend, but the piece de resistance is I still haven't had my first kiss at 23. I can't help but feel so behind in life, and I hate how it makes me feel, but I also just don't want to be, I don't want to completely upend my current lifestyle just to live how society expects me to live and thus not be true to myself. How do you cope with actually actively wanting the lifestyle society says you should have, but also still be yourself? I'm trying to find the line and balance it on at this point, but the past few years of my life have just felt like I'm in a constant state of limbo and not really living. And then she emailed again and said, I forgot to include my pronouns. My pronouns are she, her, but I'd like to remain anonymous. Penelope works. Penelope does work.
Penelope you're works. Right. You're also, right. So I think that this, what you're describing, Penelope, is a very, is a very common feeling, especially amongst people in their 20s. I feel like 20s are a time, and even teens, like late teens, I think this is really common where you, especially because of social media, I think we see this really idealized version of what being in your 20s is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be like you go out every night with your friends and you do all these crazy things and you like go to Bora Bora and you do crazy shit. That's not like real for 90% of people. I would say 90% of people do exactly what you're doing, which is just like vibing at home, living their life. And I also feel like on the note of feeling like you're behind everyone else, I feel like I don't know if this is going to help, but I feel like everybody feels that way. Like, I feel like everybody compares themselves to other people constantly. And I know I do. I know you do. I know, like, Charles did. It's hard when you feel like you're not on the right sort of societal path that you're supposed to be on. And you see other people who might be more traditionally on that path, but I would wager that those people that you're comparing yourself to probably feel the same way you do and look at your life and they're like, man, I wish I could just like enjoy being by myself. I wish I could enjoy like staying in. I wish I wasn't always going out, like whatever it may be. Also, I wouldn't be too hard on yourself because I think the pandemic has made a lot of people feel the way that you're feeling because we can't really go outside and we can't really do stuff even if we wanted to. So I think a lot of people feel like they're wasting their early 20s right now. I don't think you're alone in that feeling. So yeah, that would be my initial advice. Not even advice, just like being like, your feelings are valid.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way too.
I feel like I'm 26. I'm going to turn 27 this June. I have a successful career using my undergraduate degree. I like have 99% of my master's degree. I'm in my last class right now. I have a perfect GPA. I have like side jobs. I'm successful by all measurable.
On paper.
Yeah, but like, I still feel like behind. I'm like, I'm 26 and I'm just getting my master's degree and I don't even know if I'm gonna use it and what am I gonna do with my life? I have those same exact feelings and I literally already have a career. Like I already have like a full-time job that pays well and I have like, I'm like doing this as like a side job, as like a hobby, and I have like other hobbies and I still feel that same exact way. So that is not something that is like, it's not like a unique experience that you're facing, although right. Like it can often feel that way, especially during a pandemic because it's very isolating. Oh, also I wanted to say, I've never liked going out.
Me neither.
Like literally never.
It's
like,
not fun.
Like I have never liked going to bars. We've already talked once before, like our go-to bar in Rochester, like pre-Panorama, was Marshall Street because it's like not even a bar. That's just like a little room with games in it that sells alcohol.
Yes.
Like that's our vibe. So like, I feel like you said you're like trying to toe the line of like societal expectations of what your life is and how you actually want to live it. But I'm like, fuck the society.
I agree.
I'm like, who cares? Like don't live your life for other people,
right.
Which is relevant to another question that we're going to talk about. I don't know which number it is, but we are going to talk about it. Don't live your life for other people. Ever. Ever.
Yeah. I will also say, too, on the note of, like, dating and, like, finding someone, I will say, like, I didn't date until pretty late into my – I don't think I had a boyfriend until I was 21 years old. Like, I had people I had, like, talked to, you know, the talking phase. But I never, like, found an actual boyfriend until I was 21, I think. I think I was like 20, 21, which is, you know, late for a lot of people because a lot of people consider having your first, like people think you should have your first relationships in like high school. And I was really self-conscious about that at the time. However, now I'm actually really glad I had that time to be alone and to not be dating people. I know a lot of people who, and this is not really a bad thing necessarily, but I think sometimes dating in high school, especially really serious relationships in high school, can sometimes set you up where you don't even feel like you can be like alone, you know what I mean? Like I think a lot, I know how to be alone, I guess I should say. Like I feel like it's a valuable skill that I have, that I can be on my own and I can be independent. And I think because I spent so much of my early 20s and like late teens alone, I have that skill. And I think that's a really valuable skill to have. I don't need another person in my life. The only reason Charles is in my life is because he adds value to my life. Whereas like I think a lot of people sometimes like don't have that quality, like they want to be with people all the time. So I think I would look at that as, instead of, well, I'm 23 and I haven't had a boyfriend yet, I would more look at that as like, I'm 23 and I know how to be independent and I know how to be on my own. And I'm learning this valuable time in my life to like be by myself and know how to be by myself. So that way, when I do find a person, they're going to be the perfect person for me and they're going to be there to add value to my life, not because I just like want to date someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I've only had like two serious relationships in my entire life. Like,
same, actually.
But like, a little different.
Well, I married one.
Well, yeah, and difference. I was in the closet for 20 years.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
But yeah, don't care about like what society is like trying to tell you to do.
I don't think there's a line to toe when it comes to, because the other thing about like societal pressures is there are definitely universal ones. However, if you ask every single person what their expectation of a 23-year-old is supposed to be, you're going to get a different answer every single time. Like, even though we think there's these societal pressures, in reality, it's different for everyone, just like it's different for you. So you should just do whatever you think is best and however you want to do things, you know? Like, don't right. even...
Chase your bliss.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even put societal pressures into the equation of your life. I would just say, like, does this make me happy? And if yes, do it. And if not, don't do it. Don't do it. Simply don't.
Don't do it.
Yeah. No. No. Good question, though.
Thanks. Love you. I bye. Appreciate...
Thanks. Love you. Babe.
It's our new thing. Let us know if you hate it. I hate it. So let us know how you feel.
Let us know how you hate it.
Okay. This question is mainly for David.
A David?
Oh my gosh. That was so spooky. Smoky Glow just snuck right up on me right there.
Get out of here.
Okay. This person says, Penelope, he, him. He says, I really relate to you as a closeted high schooler. It is my freshman year at a small conservative town. Literally so relatable. To me, anyway. My first semester was great, but now one of the popular boys has started calling me daddy and moaning every time he sees me. Yikes. He will ask me for my number and embarrass me. His popular friends now started to do it too. I don't know if you have been through anything like this, but I really like some advice on how to deal with bullies. Oh my god. Yeah, I was bullied so hard. And my coping mechanism when I was younger. Now bullying doesn't work on me because I'm just like, what?
Right.
But when I was younger, I like really affected me. And then I learned... And this is not, like, safe advice,
don't,
for sure.
Okay, don't take this advice necessarily.
Yeah, this is what I did.
Right.
In my very small conservative town as a closeted boy is I became the bully to the people that bullied me. So, because, like, I'm very quick-witted. I have a very sharp tongue. Like, I can, like, absolutely, like, get you right back. So... That's what I did, and, like, it was effective for me, but then I think also is, like, I just kind of grew into who I was, minus my sexuality, if that makes sense. Like, I just, like, became who I am without necessarily, like, being gay and, like, being out. Like, that wasn't at the forefront of my personality. So I feel like that's kind of a way that I dealt with it, and I think one way that you can just do it is just to, like, remember that this is so temporary.
Yes.
And high school is the, like the boys that are bullying you are peaking right now. This is their prime. They're on the football team. They're the all-star. This is their prime. Like, it's all downhill from here.
So you just have to keep reminding yourself.
Big fish, little pond,
also,
energy.
I just want to say, I know that was your experience, and I don't want to invalidate it, but I also will say I don't know if people should do what you did.
I definitely don't recommend.
Because
you're
going to
get beat up.
Well, and also you had people that you hurt by doing that, that were like not people who hurt you. Like, I was a person that you hurt by doing
that. Yeah, that's true.
So it's like I understand now why you did it, and that's why I don't ever hold grudges for you against anything. But I know a lot of people that like would, and I know a lot of people, I was one of them, that was like really traumatized by bullying in middle school and high school. Like, I also got really bullied because I was overweight. So I always got really bullied. But like, and I was fucking weird, but that didn't help. But I also got really bullied. And I can't speak to being bullied for your sexuality because I never was. I never really talked about being bisexual. And also, I don't think I would have gotten the same amount of bullying that you or this Penelope would have gotten. But I will say I can speak to being bullied. And I think the best way when you're being bullied is to just do your best to keep reminding yourself, like what David said, this is temporary. And also, I found that, like, I think sometimes you almost want to work to, like, make your bully be nicer to you. Like, you want to, like, kill. My mom always told me, she was like, well, just kill with kindness. And, like, that's how you'll get people. That is not really effective. And it also makes you look like a pushover, and you never want to look like that. What I would really try to do is find a core group of friends that are outside of that group of people. Even if it is a small town, I guarantee there's other people who also hate these fucking people. And just try to, like, make friends with them and try to find your people and your, you know, it doesn't have to be your best friends for the rest of your life, but your people that are going to help you get through being in a small town and, like, being with, you know, people who are ignorant and stupid and things like that. I think that that's really helpful too. That's how I got through a lot of stuff, was, like, finding my people and just, like, sticking with them, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like I definitely was more of a bully in, like, in where you are, like, in ninth grade. And then I feel like I did find, like, my people. And, like, not that you should, like, get external validation in order to feel, like, worthy. But it helps.
Yeah.
When people are like, oh, I like you. You're funny. You're, like, charming. You're whatever. It does, like, make you feel good about yourself. And I feel like finding that love from external sources helps you kind of feel out on the inside, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, don't put all your weight in whether or not other people like you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you find people that do uplift you and that do, like, enjoy being around you, I feel like that helps a lot. Whether or not you're out of the closet. You didn't mention if you were out of the closet or what. I was bullied when I was in the closet. Like, just, like, my mannerisms and the way that I speak and the things that I say, like, I'm gay. So, like, I was bullied before I was out of the closet, which is why I was in the closet for so long. So, I don't know if you're, like, in the closet or out of the closet, but... like, you find people that, like, support you, like, if they know or not, it doesn't really matter, because you're who you are regardless of your sexual orientation. So that's what I would say to you. Get out of that little conservative town.
Exactly.
Best thing I ever did.
Oh, actually, yeah, that would be my advice. Leave as soon as you can.
He's in ninth grade.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As soon as you can.
I think he's at ninth grade.
Plan your college out of town. Get out of there. Don't stay there if you can.
You don't gotta move far. I moved like an hour and a half away from my hometown.
Yeah.
To the big old city. It's not big. Rochester, New York is not large.
It's pretty small.
Pretty small. And you know what? It's big enough.
Big enough.
It's big enough.
All right. Next.
Thank you.
Also, good luck.
Oh my God. Best of luck
and
to you.
And like, you got this. You're gonna be okay. It's all temporary. Please remember that. And if you ever start like dealing with anything more serious than the feelings you're feeling now, please reach out to somebody and ask for help with those feelings, because I know that a lot of those things can manifest into deeper, you know, problems. So thank you so much. Love you. Bye.
And stay gay.
Stay gay.
Okay, this one says, I need some advice! Exclamation point. Starting out strong. My fiance, we will call him Harry. We're actually going to call him Penelope. That's crazy.
Oh my God, they both have the same name.
Okay, so Penelope.
When's the wedding?
They are in a transitional stage of their lives. We are getting married this summer. I'm graduating from my undergrad and planning on getting my MSW if I get accepted into this program.
MSW! It's a master's in social work.
Yep.
Okay, we have, just got excited. That's what I'm getting.
We have been together for 5 years, and originally he is from one of the largest cities in the country, and I am from a smaller city about 5 hours away. We lived in the larger city for a majority of our relationship, but decided to move back to my home state during COVID. Long story short, I know he's not happy here and wants to move, which is fine with me because I've always let him know that if he's unhappy, we can consider different paths together and find a place that we both see ourselves in. Mature.
Very healthy. You love to see it.
Here's where the fear comes in. I'm content living where we currently are, and I've made great relationships and friendships, and I'm worried I won't be able to maintain those friendships when we move or struggle finding new relationships. Do you have any advice on maintaining long-distance friendships? So I'm thinking of a couple of my friends.
I have a couple, too.
That have, like, moved out of state. And frankly, if you're really that good of friends, it'll just work.
Agreed.
It'll either you shouldn't. I'm like a big proponent of like I shouldn't have to make things work. Things should just work, right? Like I shouldn't have to put heaping amounts of emotional labor into something in order for it to continue being a feasible relationship that has any longevity or real emotion behind it, from both parties. So I'm like, if you really are good friends with these people, like, it will just work. And, like, I, like, one of my friends, I don't talk to her often. I, like, barely talk to her at all. But I'll randomly FaceTime her one day because she finally got an iPhone. Thank God. And so now I'll just randomly FaceTime her, and she won't answer. And then she'll FaceTime me 2 days later, and I don't answer. And then I FaceTime her back. And then finally we, like, get in touch, and we talk on the phone for 2 hours. Like, and I love her. And I love her dearly, and I miss her, and she's great. And I hope that she thinks those things about me, too.
What friend is this? Oh, okay. That's who I was thinking of, but yeah. I was thinking of long-distance friendships.
So I feel like it'll just work. And yeah. I feel like also you're, like, considering, like, obviously you're good at making friends. I mean, you moved back to your small town. I'm sure you, like, had some friends there already. So, like, if you already had friends in your small town after living there for not living there for five years, then you've already kind of maintained long-distance friendships. You just, like, didn't even think about it.
That's a good point.
And then also, another point, you'll make new friends. You just said you made friends, or you already had friends, so you're capable of meeting new people that seem to like you. Obviously, you're not, like, repugnant, or you wouldn't have made new friends. So it's, like, you'll make new friends in a new city. So I think, like, moving to a new city is definitely something that is worth pursuing, especially if your significant other has already said, hey, I fucking hate it here, bro.
Yeah. One of the things I was about to say was, I think that sometimes when we leave relationships, we have this almost not leave relationships like in an ending way, but if we like move far away, like if David were to move far away, which he has actually talked about doing before, like he's talked about.
I literally got offered a job in Iowa.
Yeah, like he's talked about.
Iowa.
Right.
Do you know what's in Iowa?
Nothing.
Corn. And it's not even corn for people. It's corn for animals. You're telling me the state is full of shit I can't even eat? It's not even cute. And I can't eat it? I love corn. That's not for me. Why am I here? I'm not taking the job.
Right.
That's why I didn't take it, because the corn wasn't for people.
That's valid. Also, they didn't offer you enough money.
But
regardless.
Move across the country for $7.
Right. No, I would say I think that sometimes in our lives we have this like, not obsession, but we have these really close relationships and we want to keep them as close as possible forever, and we don't want things to change, especially when they're good. Like, nobody wants a good thing to change, I think. But I will say, I think change is really important to evolving as a person. And I will also say that even though your friendships might change in the sense that you're not talking to each other every day, you're not seeing each other every week, that doesn't mean they're not as valuable. Like, one of my best friends lives an hour away from me, and I used to see him literally every single day. He was part of the basement that we went to, and he was like my absolute ride or die best friend. And now I only talk to him probably once every couple weeks. And the thing about it is, like, it's a different relationship. Like, I don't know every little minute detail about his life because I'm not seeing him every day. However, when I do talk to him, it's a really valuable conversation. Like, we have a lot to catch up on. We have a lot that we can talk about. We have a lot to share. And it's a new sort of relationship, and it's an evolution of our relationship. But I appreciate that friendship the same way that I used to, even though it's different, because I still get so much value out of it. And even the same thing, I have the same exact friend David's talking about. It's the same girl, and she lives far away, and I don't see her, talk to her for a while, but then when I do, it's like I never stopped. Like, everything just picks right up where it left off. So I agree. I think the friendships that you're meant to keep, you will. And I would say, don't be afraid of evolving friendships and evolving relationships. Even though it seems scary, it's either going to work out or it's not. But either way, it's what was supposed to happen. And it, you know, can sometimes bring a different type of friendship that's just as valuable with the same person, which I think is kind of cool. We can't all stay together and be together forever, you know?
Yeah, like, and, like, I love the relationship that I have with, like, our friend that moved far away, because it's, like, when I see her, it's so exciting.
It is.
And, like, she came for lunch. We saw her at Amber's wedding.
Yep.
And then
she's in my wedding, by the way. She's like one of my really good friends.
And then I saw her like a couple months before that. She just like was in town, and we like just got lunch, and it was amazing. Yeah. And like I'll always remember just like literally going to the Red Fern and getting lunch with her, and it was just like cute. And it's so, I just love like the catching up that we get to do that you can't do if you're with someone all the time.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh my God, your life is so amazing. You're doing so many great things. And she's like, oh my God, your life is so amazing. You're doing so many great things. And it's just like, I just love that, like those moments that we get to share because we don't see each other often. So the moments that we do get to share are like almost more valuable.
Yes.
So it's like, and she lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like she lives so far away, and she's still like, I fucking love that bitch. Like, yeah. I love her so much. And I'm sure she loves me. And, like, our relationship, because it was a real relationship that was built upon, like, actual friendship and actual, like, companionship, it like, withstands the test of distance and time. Yeah. Like, it just works. If it's supposed to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. So, I don't know if that was helpful at all.
I worry it wasn't, because we were like, well, just do it. But it's kind of all you can do. Like, right, yeah. We could say, like, oh, make sure you make time to FaceTime with them. Make sure you make time. But that's not really – that might work in the short term, but I don't think that there's a longevity to those types of plans, because life happens. You get busy. We initially, when we all moved away from each other from the basement, we had – I mean, most of us still live up here, but some of us don't. And we had a plan of, like, every Saturday is our day. We missed this last Saturday. We didn't even notice. Him, like, David and I
both on Sunday were like, oh, shit.
We were supposed to do that thing on set. Like,
I was in bed by 9:30.
Yeah, fuck. Like, it doesn't mean I don't love those people and I don't love hanging out with them. It just means that, like, life happens. So I think to make these, like, unrealistic, like, every Thursday at 3 p.m., we're going to FaceTime. Like, it's just not plausible. Whereas, like, instead, just have organic friendships and just try to, like, you know, if they mean a lot to you, keep reaching out. And if you mean a lot to them, they will keep reaching out, and then it'll work. So, yeah, that would be my advice. Also, congratulations on moving. That's very exciting.
Yes, and I think to end this
on Andrew a, MSW. Sorry.
I think to end this on a note that's, like, actually kind of helpful, do, like, a cost-benefit analysis. Like, really sit down and think about it. Like, what are the pros and cons of moving? What are the pros and cons of leaving? Just, like, sit down and actually, like, think about it as rationally and logically as you can for, like, an emotional situation.
Love that. Thank you so much. Love you, babe.
Thanks. Love you. Bye. Thanks. Love you, me. Okay. So this one is kind of funny. So this Penelope's pronouns are she, her, but wishes to remain anonymous. Okay, Penelope, you got it.
You got it.
some needed context. My mother-in-law is very well off. So recently, with Christmas holiday that just passed, we were FaceTiming my mother-in-law. She wanted to see us opening the present she gave us. I sat back and watched as my husband, his siblings, and step-siblings all got very expensive personal presents. When it was my turn to open my gift from her, it was a sample size of makeup with a free sample sticker on it. I thanked her over FaceTime, even though I was hurt, and told my husband, and he agreed that it seemed targeted and mean-spirited. When she found out that I was upset about it, she began to passive-aggressively behave towards me, saying comments such as, never let a gift affect relationships, or everyone but few were just so thankful for what I did for Christmas. I just want to be clear that I expect nothing from anyone. For several years, my husband and I didn't do Christmas, even for one another, because we simply couldn't afford it. My problem is that I felt humiliated and not a part of the family because of it, like I was less than everyone else, and I would have been fine with the gift if it didn't have a free sample sticker. My mother-in-law and I have had issues in the past. Should I apologize to my mother-in-law, or is she in the wrong?
No.
Nope.
Don't apologize.
Nope. You did nothing wrong.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. Also, okay, here's the thing about Christmas. Nobody's, like, entitled to get you anything crazy. However, if you are going to be extra with gifts and you're going to be a little more extravagant, unless it's, like, for one person who, like, really wanted something or whatever, you need to be equal about it, in my opinion. Like, I got a lot of people in my life, like, really good gifts this year, and there were some people I didn't want to get good gifts because I'm mad at them. But I still got them good gifts, because that's what you do if you're going to get, like, you can't give one person, like, a fucking iPad and then another person, like, a stick of gum. Like, that's just not, that's not nice. Also, the free thing, she totally left that sticker on to make you feel like shit.
Yeah, I feel like we don't need to talk about this one for long.
No.
Because, like, I feel like you're clouded with, like, family drama vision. No. But, like, your mother-in-law, that was very.
Also, not, like, boyfriend's mom, mother-in-law, they're married, so now you don't have to apologize.
Mother-in-law, very rude, that's very targeted, that's very, like, inappropriate.
Also, I'm glad your husband is sticking up for you.
Yes, that's good. Healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Healthy. Don't apologize.
No, don't apologize. And also, next year,
never apologize unless you've done something wrong. That's another thing about me. Don't apologize unless you've done something wrong. I remember one time I made my aunt really mad at Christmas, and my dad was like, you have to go apologize. And I was like, I simply will not apologize if I did not do anything wrong. I don't care if it makes the other person feel better. If I have done nothing wrong, I am not going to apologize. Absolutely not. You did nothing wrong. It made you feel a certain way, and your feelings are valid. Therefore, you did nothing wrong. Thank you.
Again, this is why I think David is a healthier person than I am, because I apologize for literally everything. So I understand your need and your feeling to apologize, but don't. Simply don't. Like, just don't do it. It's literally, that just sets a precedent that, like, because she's not going to apologize. Think about that. If it's a situation like this where you're like, well, maybe if I apologize, it'll make things better. Do you think she's going to apologize for getting you that gift? No, she's already making backhanded, stupid, you're just making faces so you can zoom in on yourself. I know exactly what you're doing.
I'm saying no.
She's like actively shit-talking you and shit-talking your feelings. Like, she doesn't feel bad. She doesn't see your side of perspective. There's no point in having discourse about it. My suggestion would be just to forget it ever happened.
I want you to email us back and tell us what you would say in your apology. I want to know what you are apologizing for.
I'm sorry that I felt left out. Like, right. What?
I just want to know, like, what your apology would sound like.
I also would say don't apologize for your feelings, especially if they're, like, valid feelings like this one was. So I'm sorry, Penelope, that you're going through this, but sending you lots of love.
This says, my question is, what advice would you guys give your high school selves? For context, I'm a high schooler. So what advice would you give your former high school self, Hannah? Jesus. Former high school self, that felt too wordy. You know what I mean.
I don't know. All of mine are, like, lame.
I would tell myself to be gay and do crime.
What?
I would also...
Oh, I know what I would tell myself.
I think I would also give myself more direction in life because I didn't even apply to the interpreter training program at RIT until after my first year of college, which, like, wasn't too big of a negative. But I did have to, like, the program that I went into was very sequential. So even though I had a full year of college, I had to start as a freshman again. Mm-hmm. So I would just be like, hey, don't do that. Let's save some coin.
Right.
And I think I would also, I don't know, just, like have, like, wisdom things.
I know what my advice would be.
Have wisdom things is what I just said. Right. Like, tell myself not to take out that loan, or, like, don't do that, or, like, that's needless, don't do that, or you're not going to use that, don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, like, so many things that, like, you could say to yourself, you know what I mean? But the one thing I would for sure tell little closeted David is, like, go suck some
Right. Mine would be, mine would be, number one, take a gap year. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I did not want to go to college, but I felt a lot of pressure from my family and also just, like, our school to go to college. So I ended up going to a four-year university and dropping out after the second semester, failing out because I fucked up and, like, hated it. Also, like, I was getting a degree in public relations, which was, like, not at all. Like, it just was not. I like picked a random degree I thought sounded fun. Like, I just take a gap year. Like, don't feel ashamed to take a gap year. It does not matter if you take a year off. Figure out what the fuck you want to do. Also, go to a community college for the first 2 years. Like, do not go to a four-year university. Literally go to a community college. There's no shame in it. I don't know why we've stigmatized.
I went to community college. That was my first year of school. I went to community college. It cost, like, one penny. It
cost
and
$1.
A high five. And I was like, okay, great. And then I went to RIT and now I owe $50,000 in student loans.
Right. Avoid that. Like, if you can, do your first 2 years of community college. Get your gen eds are going to be the same wherever the fuck you go.
Mm-hmm.
Get your gen eds out of the way. Maybe take a couple classes and stuff you're interested in so you can figure out what the fuck you want to do and then transfer to wherever you want to go if you even need to. Because sometimes you can get your degree with a 2-year degree. My second piece of advice to myself from high school would probably be, there's a couple things. Number one, I would say stop thinking everyone's better than you. Like, I always was really insecure and thought that everyone was so much better than me, especially with my friend group, because I was in a friend group with four girls who were, like, very they were just really pretty. And not that I wasn't pretty, but, like, they were really pretty and everybody told them how pretty they were and nobody ever told me that. So I was really, really self-conscious because I felt like I was friends with all of these really pretty girls and that they just were friends with me because they, like, felt bad for me. And, like, I felt like I don't feel this way anymore, but I felt like at the time I had so many insecurities about, like, everything. Like, I was just really, really insecure. So I would say, like, don't do that. Like, you're fine. If I could be the weight I was in high school now, Jesus Christ, I would be like fat in high school is like a completely different vibe, I feel like. But also I would say I don't know if this is applicable, but I would say, like, I kind of what we were talking about in our last podcast. I wish that I was more confident in speaking up when I saw things that were wrong. And I wish I was more confident in, like, just being more self-aware about the world outside of where we went to a very small town. Like, I wish that I knew what was happening in the world. I wish I was more aware about politics. I wish I was more aware about what was going on around me. I wish I was more aware about activism. I wish I was more aware about social issues. And I wish that I had been able to adequately go past the surface level of, like, well, being racist is wrong. And, like, that was what I knew up until I was probably, like, 19, 20. And then I really started diving into it. I wish that I had dove into that sooner. And I wish I had gotten involved in those things sooner, because I think I would have been a much more well-rounded person sooner. And I also think I would have been able to adequately combat a lot of the stuff that we saw at our small town, like, with racism, homophobia, sexism, like, everything like that. I think I would have been able to accurately, like, fight, not fight against those things, but I would have been able to, like, stand up for things that I truly believe in, instead of just being like, oh, well, it doesn't really, you know, it's not something I'm seeing every day, so, like, whatever. But, like, right, it was, you know. So I think just being more, like, being more aware of the world around me, instead of being so sucked into just, like, this tiny town and, like, everything happening in that, just, like, realizing there's a bigger picture than, like, a small town would be my advice to myself. Is that good advice or is that stupid?
No, that's good advice. Okay. It just narrows down to have self-confidence and open your eyes.
Open your eyes.
Okay.
Have you watched Encanto yet?
No.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Copyright.
We don't talk about
Glarnin. Yes. But
it was Flargin, Glarnin. It was Flargin. That's yes! literally what he does.
Yes!
Every word is Flargin or Glarnin.
Glorbin. All right.
Glorb.
This is the next email.
It's a long one.
Yeah. Some background. I, Penelope, pronouns she, her, am an associate veterinarian at a small private practice. We have a small team of less than 20 total employees. Lately, unprofessional behavior by one of the doctors slash owners led to support staff and management quitting, and other support staff members considering quitting as well. This has left us short-staffed, putting more stress onto the remaining employees we do have. Examples of unprofessional behavior: playing favorites, gossiping about other people, overreacting to situations that lead to drama. Little things like this, but you get the idea. I like to go to work, take care of my patients, and then go home. I just love the idea of, like, a little dog patient with, like, a little...
Okay,
and, like,
keep a, going. Stay focused.
Just a little guy.
Stay focused.
Just a little cute guy. Just keep picture it.
Yeah.
Just very
with
cute.
With a little band-aid on his arm because he got some little shots or something. Yeah. Very cute.
I love laughing and having an enjoyable day with my team, but at the end of the day, we are just there to do our job and we're all professional adults. This whole situation has become very distracting at work and added more stress to an already stressful profession in general, i.e. sad things or happy things. I don't want to read the sad things, so I'm not going to.
What is it?
She said, like, having to give a pet a terminal diagnosis, to being excited about a family's new puppy, to consoling a family as I am euthanizing their pet.
Okay, nope.
See,
nope,
I was going to skip. I was going to... I can't skip it. I already skip read it.
Skip it. I can't think
I'm
about
skipping
that.
It. We literally were just talking about this.
We were just talking about it.
I am nervous about looking for other jobs as I don't know if I will get the same level of mentorship because I am a newish grad, mesh well with other team dynamic, or end up in a worse situation. Basically, I don't like change, and my anxiety and imposter syndrome like to come up with the worst case scenarios. What would you do if you were me? If I were you, I would also be anxious and my imposter syndrome would be flaring up like gout, which I also have. I have
everywhere.
Gout. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. I'm an 80-year-old man. I would say, first of all, I love that you like to have fun at work. I also love to have fun at work. That's, like, the only thing that I liked doing at Starbucks was, like, messing around and playing hangman with mocha sauce on the counter, or, like, just, like, throwing ice cubes at strangers. I really do that.
Just fun thing.
Just kooky
thing.
I'm so quirky.
Right.
But... don't put up with an unprofessional workplace. And if one of the owners is being unprofessional, then that issue is not going to get resolved because there is no higher up.
Yep.
I would say leave. Obviously, you're qualified or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing now. Your graduate degree is more than enough qualification to get into a place. And you obviously have some years of experience. So I don't think that getting another job is going to be, like, too difficult. Obviously, look for a job before you quit your current job. If you're letting, like, if you're letting your fear rule your decision making, you're limiting your growth.
I also will say, I think that that's all very good advice, and I agree with that. I also have pretty bad imposter syndrome. Mine is so bad that I don't think I'm good enough to have imposter syndrome. I'm not kidding.
I really almost just spit out my coffee. I'm not kidding. There was almost coffee all over the place.
I denied it for so long, especially on the internet. I'd be like, nah, I don't have imposter syndrome. That would require me to be successful. And I don't, I'm not. So like, and everyone was like, and everyone was like in the comments, they were like, this is textbook imposter syndrome, just so you're aware. So I struggle with that too. And I think that one of the things that really helps me is being able to rationalize a lot of my stuff and put it on paper and put it in front of me. Like, I would suggest making like a pros and cons list of staying or leaving. I'm pretty sure based on your email that you're going to find a lot more cons to staying than you are pros. But I think that that if you're only like, pros to leaving. Yeah. I think if your only con to like not doing it is like, oh, I'm afraid of change or I'm afraid of not being good enough. I would just say that those reasons are not that they're not valid reasons, but I would say that those reasons should be taken with a little bit less weight than maybe some of the other problems you're having at your job. I would also say that just like rationalizing things helps me a lot. And also I think having a backup plan, it seems like you're in a position where you actually have time where you could be a little bit picky about a new job. So you don't have to leave this immediately. It's not like an immediate quit, but if you are just start looking around, like seeing what's out there, seeing what other options you might have, and you don't have to take the first job that's offered to you. Like if you don't think it's going to be an absolutely perfect fit, you can pass on it and you can keep looking. Like you're in a really good position where you have time on your side, and your employer doesn't need to know that you're looking for other jobs. Like that's none of their business. So you can actually take your time, look for what you want. And also I think rationalizing that like you're making the right choice by leaving, by doing pros and cons lists and, you know, talking it out with people, I think is going to be really helpful. But just know that you got this. I think a lot of times it's hard not to feel like you are not good enough. I feel that way every single time I upload a YouTube video. I think that it's trash and that I'm not good enough and that I'm terrible. And somehow you just got to keep going. You just got to tell yourself you're wrong, you know? And that would be my advice.
I think our advice is to find a new job.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. I think you should find a new job.
You spend so much time at work that your work cannot be a negative place for you. Like, obviously, I don't dream of labor. I'm not, like, trying to work for a living. But if I have to live in this capitalistic hellscape, I may as well enjoy my day. And if you're not enjoying your day at work where you're spending, what, like, 30 to 50 hours a week, depending on, like, how full-time it is or if it's part-time or whatever – I don't really know what an associate vet is. Are you just like, are you like a full vet, but like you're not a partner at this clinic or whatever? I have no idea what that means. But I'm like, I don't know. Feels like you could just find a new job. And like maybe you can't find a new job because like maybe you're in like a small area and there's like not a lot of vets. I don't know. It's really hard because like I can only speak to things. And I feel like this is obvious, so I don't know why I have to say it, but I can only speak to things from my perspective. So, like, I'm white, I'm gay, I'm a man. I can't say things from other perspectives, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you're in a small town or a big town or, you know, if – I don't even remember your gender.
I think that's the problem is that we – because I've seen some comments, too, that we were looking at things from a privileged perspective. And I will say that like we are very privileged in a lot of aspects. Like we are in family situations where we can set strong boundaries. We're in life situations where we can do that. We are, you know, we're very kind of like cut and dry, but that is also coming from our perspective. And obviously in an email, we're not going to get the entire scope of a problem. So we're just trying to help in little ways that we can, but we definitely are not. So I understand why it might be hard to look for a new job. There might be other things that like we don't have the piece to the puzzle of why it's harder, but based on the information provided,
right,
that's the best advice that I could give.
I can only answer things from my perspective.
I agree.
Thanks for your email. Bye.
Thanks, love you, babe.
Again. Hi, this person's name is Erin. She's fine with us using her first name. No, Penelope?
No. She's Penelope.
Okay. Hi, my name is
Panarin.
My name is Panarin.
Panarin.
My name is Panera Bread. And I'm fine with being identified by my first name, which is Panera Bread.
Panera Bread.
I'm currently going into my senior spring of college, and I have applied to 3 master's programs in education. Mostly research focused, not in teaching, just because. I've gotten so much unsolicited advice about going or not going to grad school straight away, but I wanted to ask you guys because you have life experience and aren't professors. Hmm. My sophomore spring got disrupted by COVID, and then I took a leave of absence the next fall before returning to campus in spring 2021. All in all, I feel like my college experience has been taken away from me, and because of that, I want to keep doing school. On the other hand, I still have no idea what kind of career I want to go into, and I've heard that it would be a waste to go through a master's for something that I'm not 100% confident and passionate about using. Why are you talking about me in this email?
I was about to say, I was like, I feel really personally attacked
Sounds
right now.
Fucking rude. I said I wanted to go part-time for one of the programs that I applied to so that I can go halvesies on it, still going to school and having a real-world job, etc. But if I still end up, it's still going to be expensive, and I don't know what the right direction is. What are your thoughts? What thoughts do you have in general about going straight from grad school?
Wait,
going straight to grad school from undergrad as a traditional age student, and any extra thoughts about my specific context?
Don't do it. Don't go to grad school yet. I thought I knew what I wanted to do going into grad school, and now I'm looking at going for a completely different program, having wasted like 3 semesters of my life not going back to get my MSW. So don't do it. Take a year, take 2 years, take 5. There's so many people usually in the master's programs that are a little bit older and have like worked first. I think the only true way you can really know if you want the master's degree that you want is by working in the field and like being able to see it firsthand. I do think there's value in going fresh out of undergrad because I think you still have a lot of the sort of academic brain in your head. Like you're still in the zone of like writing papers and like doing all the requirements and everything like that. But I would argue that I don't know if you're going to get as much out of it. And especially if you don't exactly know what you want to do, do not waste your money, especially for a master's degree, without knowing exactly you're positive you're going to use this degree, you're positive this is what you want to do. Just wait. Just take a break. You can still have a college experience of like hanging out with friends and going out and doing things while you're working. You don't have to be going to college to do that. My personal advice, do not go into the master's until you're 1,000% sure of what you want to do.
I agree. I think I literally said in this episode that I don't even want to like use my degree. I'm like 99% done with it. And I'm like, I don't even think that I like want to do this thing anymore. My master's degree is related to my undergrad. My undergrad degree is in American Sign Language Interpreting and Linguistics. And then my master's degree is in Deaf Education K-12. And now I'm in my last class and I'm like, boy, do I not want to be a teacher or what?
Yep.
And I'm very fortunate in that I'm not paying for my graduate degree. I paid for my undergraduate degree from a private school, so it was very expensive. And by paid for, I mean the government gave me fake money that I'm not giving back to them. Yeah, and I took two or three years. I don't even know what year I graduated undergrad. I took 2 or 3 years off of my undergrad after undergrad, and I worked in my field until I went back. And I was working as a K-12 interpreter, so I like was in the classroom day to day. But then going into my grad program and actually seeing it and doing it and feeling it and living it, I was like, boy, would I rather chew on a pane of glass?
Right.
So I would say don't go to grad school, no. Especially if you're paying for it. And a double, especially if you already have loans taken out, unless you're of the mindset like this money is not real, like me. I'm like that. The government made a logistical error by giving me that money. I tell you what.
Right. I would say too. I paid out of pocket for grad school. I went to a SUNY school, so it was not nearly as expensive as other grad programs, but it was still a sizable amount of money. I think I've spent like $20,000 on my last 3 semesters. I have 2 semesters left. I have a thesis I have to write, and I have field work. I do not think I'm going to go back and get my MSW. I think I'm going to go to a different master's program and do a different degree entirely because I don't want an MSW. It's not what I really want to do. It's not, I still want to do social work in some capacity, but it's a very different kind of social work than what I was learning in my MSW. Like I was learning how to like diagnose people and how to like learning about medications and learning about like, disorders and things like that. And like, that's not at all what I want to do. I was learning very micro practice stuff and I want to be doing macro practice. Like, that is what I want to do. So it was difficult to come to that realization that I wasn't going to do it, because for so long I was like on this track of like, I'm going to get my BSW and then immediately get my MSW and then I'm going to go through it. And then I actually initially took off time because of COVID. I just couldn't do Zoom school anymore.
Like, I also took a leave from school.
COVID. Like, I literally just couldn't do Zoom school anymore. It was like detrimental.
Try having Zoom school in all ASL.
I can't.
All my teachers are deaf, so it's not even like I can have my screen off and just listen. No, it's eyes wide open, stare at that fucking screen for 3 hours.
I can't imagine.
It was awful.
No.
I'm actually still in Zoom school. I have a 3-hour class on Wednesday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. Guess what I'd rather be doing?
Anything.
Literally anything.
I hate
it. Name it.
And then once I took the time off, it made me realize that I maybe wasn't in the right degree field and I wasn't in the right path, and like maybe I needed to switch things up. But I already wasted like $20,000 trying to get this degree that I'm not going to finish now, and I'm going to be wasting even more money trying to go back and like having to not have any of that coursework count towards my new degree. Just wait. Like, you're just
I would wait. I would wait.
Just wait. Just
and
wait.
Also, while you're waiting, wait some more, and then
yeah,
when you're like maybe ready to like gear up and do something, I would try like auditing some classes.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Or like just sitting in.
That's a really good idea.
Talk to admissions of whatever a place you're like trying to go to. I did that for my undergrad degree, and it was very beneficial for me, seeing that I actually wanted to do this. And my little word of advice is to try to at least observe two classes. One first year class that is hands-on in the field that you're doing.
Yep.
Don't do like a first year biology class if you're not going to be a biology major or get a biology degree or whatever. Like, do like, go into a classroom that is hands-on the thing that you're going to be doing. If you want to go into teaching, go into a class about general instruction methods.
Yes.
Don't go into a class about, like special
statistics,
education.
Statistics,
yeah. Like if you want to do special ed, go into that class. But, like, if you're not really interested in doing special education, don't go into that classroom because it's not going to be interesting to you.
I agree.
Into the one that is, like, more what you're going to be doing in the day-to-day of the job as best you can, because obviously, like, you're not in the job and you're not in the program, so how are you going to make those decisions? And then also go into a class that is a last semester class that is hands-on to see what they're doing, to see what you will be doing if you enter this program, because I feel like that's a really good way to gauge, okay, where are they going to start me off? Where am I going to end up? Did I like what they were doing at the beginning? Did I like what they're doing at the end? And obviously those are very blanket statements, and like, you're not going to be able to get like an actual feel for the job or whatever, but it's going to give you an idea of like, what am I going to be doing? Like, what does the day to day look like in this profession or whatever?
I agree.
Because like, even working as a K-12 interpreter, I had no idea like what teachers do. You know, I don't know what their day to day looks like, but let me tell you, writing a lesson plan, rip my eyes out.
Right.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Right. I agree.
Okay, Kate, thanks. Love you. Bye. Hi, my name's Penelope.
Hi, Penelope.
I'm emailing today to ask for advice and vent, honestly, because with COVID numbers getting worse every day and misinformation about vaccines running rampant, it has really been overwhelming for me. Some background about me. I'm a young autistic woman. It's taking me a really long time to accept myself for who I am, and thankfully I've come a really long way. Good for you, Penel.
Good for you, P.
My mom has always been anti-vax because of me. She used to say that when I was little, I got vaccinated for the first time and she, quote, saw the light fade from my eyes, end quote, which is a lot to unpack on its own. Now,
did she say that? It's
yes.
A lot to unpack.
Yeah. Now enter COVID. From the beginning, my mom has been anti-mask and anti-vax. Okay, well, you can't be both. You gotta pick one. She's graduated from vaccines cause autism to vaccines are literally made of poison and killing people.
Right.
Sadly, I'm still here.
It's kind of a pipeline.
To make it worse, my sister, who lives with her boyfriend and his immunocompromised mother, got COVID. Thankfully, all three of them are vaccinated, but when I was talking to my sister about it at our family group chat, my mom said, talking about the vaccine makes me fucking sick. Please talk about this somewhere else. I don't know what I should do. I love my mom, but I don't think this comes from a place of ableism, but a place of ignorance. It has been 20 years, and I don't think she's capable of change. If you have any advice for my situation, I would appreciate it. I'm sorry this email was so long. I really had to get it off your chest.
Well, I'm really sorry that you had to go through the trauma of having a parent tell you that your autism was, like, caused by a vaccine, and that you, like, I can't imagine how traumatizing that would be and how horrific that would be to unpack and go through.
Well, the whole thing is just so bad. No, the whole thing is bad. Because it's like, oh, vaccines cause autism. Vaccines are bad. Therefore, autism is bad.
Exactly.
Like, that's the only way that you can, like, present that information.
Right.
And it's just, like, to hear that from, like, your own Mom. Mother is like, okay, well, like.
It's a lot.
What? Yeah, that is very bad. But I just, like, I don't think that at this point anyone can say that, you know, vaccines have poison in them. I don't think you can say that that's ignorance. I feel like that's them choosing
misinformation.
They're choosing misinformation. Yeah. Like, you don't just get to, like, deny science and say that, like, oh, well, I found this somewhere else. I did my own research. And then, like, that's not ignorance. Like, they're, like, seeking out, like, misinformation. And, like, yes, misinformation is very prominent, and it can be hard, especially for older people who don't really know how to use
that's
the internet to, like, decipher misinformation or not. Because
it's, like, targeted at certain generations and certain types of people to make them think the way that they're thinking. So it is their fault, but it's also low-key. It's, like, a very hard line to walk because, like, you should be getting better sources and you should be being more educated, but at the same time, if everything you're seeing on your Facebook feed looks real and looks like fact and you are on that side, it is harder to discern what is true and not true, and I understand that struggle. As far as advice for you, Penelope, I would say see, this is hard because I don't necessarily think that you should be putting yourself through any sort of emotional trauma to try and convince her of the effectiveness of a vaccine or trying to convince her of science being real or trying to convince her of any of those things. I also know that it's hard to just, like, not talk about it and not, you know, bring it up. So I think this is, like, just a really hard situation in general. There's not really a right or wrong thing to do. What I will say, just to end this little my tangent that I was on before, is instead of you coming forward and trying to talk about this with her, maybe try to send her videos and just say, like, hey, I don't really feel comfortable, like, talking about this one-on-one, but just so you see the other side, you see the other perspective, I just wanted to send this over. Or, like, articles that are supported by science and be like, hey, I know that you feel differently, but, like, just to see, do it in, like, a non-aggressive way, just to be like, hey, here's this article, you know, look it over if you want. This is just a different perspective. Like, this is a different side. And I think trying to combat that misinformation with information is going to be your best bet without putting your mental and emotional health at risk by trying to have, like, arguments about the vaccine.
No, what I was going to say was, or just don't talk to her about it at all.
Yeah, that is the option as well.
Just, like, I feel like you know your mom better than we do, and you said she's stuck in her ways, and, like, is it worth the emotional labor that you're gonna put into this to, like, just, like, have it, like, be whatever? Like, she's probably not gonna get vaccinated, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, like, why are you arguing with a wall? You know, like, if someone's set in their ways and they don't want to hear it and they don't want to change and they don't believe anything you're going to say, even when it's supported by fact and science and data, like, why are you bothering?
I just know for me personally, I struggle with not wanting the people around me to be those types of people. So it's not that I try to, like, change everything about them, but, like, if it's something where it's very easy to combat with facts, I feel like doing, like, a soft fact check is always a good way to go.
Yeah,
if you want to change it. But if you don't, I agree with David. Don't even talk about it. Even, like, just avoid, like, the conversation.
But I feel like with specifically, like, anti-vaxxer, anti-mask things, like, you can present them with fact, but they're going to present you with their own facts.
Right.
So it's, like, it's not going to be helpful.
That's
because
valid.
They're like, look at my facts that I found on Facebook that your grandma shared. And you're like, look at the CDC article. And she's like, have you heard of the On Network?
And it's
like, right. You're okay. Not, like, I feel like you can't win.
But you're doing great.
You're doing great.
You are doing great.
Penelope,
we love you.
Thank you, Penelope.
Thank you for sending in your email.
Thanks.
Appreciate
love
it.
You. Bye.
Thank you to all the Penelopes. Again, so kooky. They're all They all have the same name.
Literally so kooky. Yeah, I think that was all of our emails that we were going to go through today.
Thank you to all our Penelopes who sent them in. We appreciate you guys.
Even
so
if we
much.
Didn't read it out, we still have them. We'll choose them. We're thinking of doing a bonus episode of just doing some more because there were so many and we want to give as many of you guys our little comments as possible, even though we don't think we're very good at giving advice.
I literally said to him as
seems
he was
like you guys think
he
we're
was
pretty
like
good.
Reading some of the emails and I was like, David, we are not qualified to do this.
Yeah,
I was like,
a little legal disclaimer. Yeah, like don't like, do anything
we are not like I guess we have a lot of life experience.
I'm just a dumb boy.
I'm also just a dumb gal, so like I don't really know. We're just doing our best.
Right. We're like, we'll set up an email. We'll get like a couple emails. We and then literally... you guys are like, please, my life is in shambles. You guys can help. I'm like, can I?
I don't know.
My
if I
life's
can.
In shambles.
I agree. We should do an episode where we write each other emails. We have to answer the question.
Shut up.
I'm gonna make a fake email and start sending in emails to
wait,
you.
Me too.
I can't wait.
Be like, oh my god, my friend Hannah, who I also work for, is such a bitch. She's gonna be like, well seems targeted.
Sorry you feel that way. Thank you so much. All right.
Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for watching Glow Standards. We appreciate it.
Email us if you want us to talk about whatever you want us to talk about at glowstandards@gmail.com. Yeah. Some people just sent in like ideas they want us to talk about for podcasts, which is fun. I actually have a little note in my app in my phone that I shared with Hannah. So we can like, we want to do things that you guys are interested in, obviously.
Agreed.
We think we're going to be doing this once a month and Am I the Asshole Reactions once a month because it seems like you guys really like it when we do that. So
agreed. Also, if you guys heard any of these things and you have like advice from your own personal experiences, share them in the comments down below. Because I feel like as a group collective, we can all give better advice together than we can like just the two of us. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Thanks for watching. Like,
love
subscribe.
You. Thanks, love you, me.
Thanks, love you. Bye.